is an interesting time in the life of David, in the history of the kingdom of Israel. Last week we saw where King David was able to, he was accepted in Judah. Remember, the kingdom was still split. The kingdom was not united yet. And so he was, for 7 years, 7.5 years, he was ruler of Judah. And then, after 7 years, he also became the ruler of the rest of Israel, that is referred to as Israel. And for 33 years was the ruler of Israel, for a total of 40 years that he reigned as king over Judah and Israel. Alright, and so now David had been successful in doing what no other king was successful in doing. He united all of Israel. And the way that he did that was by being a servant. When the leaders of Judah came to David, and they said, "You have been the one who has led us out to battle. You have been the one that was there for us when we needed you." And there is nothing in the chaplaincy, we call it the ministry of presence. You know, as a military chaplain, I'm not always doing chaplain type things. I'm not counseling, I'm not praying all the time. A lot of the time, I am there passing out water. That's right, the ministry of hydration. All right. Why? Because I want the guys and gals to see that I am available. I'm there for them. And so I'm out on the flight lines. I'm out wherever we're working when we were activated. I thought they were going to activate us for this hurricane, but I didn't receive the phone call, so praise God. So anyhow, I'm when we're activated, I'm there. And most of the time, I'm just doing the ministry of presence. And if something does happen, well then, who's the chaplain again? Where is he at? What does he look like? No, they know who I am because I've been there in their lives ministering to their needs already. Alright? And that's exactly what David had done. He was there. He was there to answer the call when the Philistines were invading, when the enemies of God were kicking up their heels and giving grief to God's people. It was David who was there to lead them out, to champion their cause, and to give them victory. So after Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, then the leaders of Judah, they came out and they said, "We want you to be our king." And it was just a perfect fit. Why not? Even when Saul was king, David was the one that was doing all the work. So Saul wasn't that much of a king to us. We want to serve David. And so David had the opportunity to step in. The rest of Israel still hadn't accepted him yet as king, but for 7.5 years, he was king over part of Israel. Why? Because he had already been there. He was already doing the dirty work for them, and they accepted him because of that. And so that's what is happening. And so now, as we pick up in the story, David wanted to have a place for God to live. And here the tabernacle was sitting out there in Jacob, which is a little village 10 miles west of Jerusalem. And it had been there in a certain person's house. We're going to be reading about that in a moment. And David finally says, "No, it's time to bring the tabernacle of God into Jerusalem." Now, the temple hadn't been built yet, and it wouldn't be built during David's lifetime, because that was given to his son Solomon as his responsibility. But David had prepared a place, a tent, and I'm sure it's just not a, Sears and Roebuck family tent that we're talking about. It was very ornate. It was very beautiful, much like the tabernacle, and it was a place for the Ark of the Covenant to reside until the temple was built. And this was a big deal in David's life. Probably one of the biggest deals that he ever experienced was the privilege of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. Amen? And so let's read about that. David, again, brought together all the able young men of Israel. 30,000. All right? So we've got quite a little gathering here. And he and all of his men went to Baal-Judah to bring up the Ark of the Lord, which was called by the name of the Lord God Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. And they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahiah, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets and harps and lyres and timbrels and sistrums and cymbals. All right. Now, can anybody tell me what's wrong with this picture? It's noisy. I'm sure it is. God never allowed the ark to be transported on a cart. He had very specific instructions on how to move the ark. It has two poles that go through rings on each corner, and you are to pick this up, and it is carried by the priests. Alright? And that is the only way that God allowed the ark to be moved. So, this is the part that was left out of this morning's reading. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. And the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, the place has been called Perez Uzzah, which means the striking of Uzzah. All right? And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Right, that was a chapter that, or a verse that I left out of this reading this morning because there was a little hiccup in all of David's plans. He forgot to check with God. Who would have thought? Remember, we were talking about the sin of presumption. Because I want to do this, and because I see it's right in my eyes, then this is a good thing to do. Alright? There's a warning there for all of us. Alright? Because God doesn't think like we think. Right? His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. And so, David just said, look, man, it's a 10-mile walk. Let's put this thing on a ox cart. And we will just have the ox drag it from this guy's house, or from where it was into Jerusalem. But when they got to this place, the ox stumbled. Uzzah, who was not a priest, reached out and touched the Ark of the Lord. And God said, you don't touch it. Only the high priest can go in once a year and offer the annual sacrifice upon the Ark of the Covenant. And so, although David had the very best intentions, they were contrary to the Word of God. Now think about that. How many times do we have the very, very best intentions and come to find out they were contrary to the Word of God? And probably one of the most poignant examples, and I've used this before, when I was working for a fabrication company, we were Christians. Everybody who was in senior management there were Christians. We met every day at 6 o'clock in the morning for Bible reading and prayer. I mean, we were dedicated to God in this company. And I tell you what, everything we touched turned to gold. In 3.5 years, we became the largest company of its kind in the United States, the third largest in the world. And, I mean, this was just absolutely amazing. And anything that we were going to do, we always brought it before the Lord in prayer. But now, in looking back, I can see our sin of presumption, because we would pray about it, but in all honesty, we'd already made up our mind. Oh, this seems to be the right thing to do, so God, we're asking you to bless this. And God is not a genie in a bottle that is bound to answering your prayers the way that He wants, that you want them answered. It's called the sin of presumption. So a situation arose, and we stepped in. There was a guy that we wanted to hire, and we brought him on board, and he said, look, I got to confess to you that I'm in a bad bind financially, and I've got this humongous debt, and it was tens of thousands of dollars. And so our reply was, not a problem. God obviously wants you here, stroke them a check, and give them the check. Except that God had put this young man in the financial bind because he was being foolish in his finances. Now, sometimes God will put you in a hard place when you have a lesson to learn. And Bob and Dale stepped in and just let this guy out of the corner. Let him escape from the place that God had him in. Here, just take the check. And so a company that had grown to the largest of its kind in the United States, within a month, we were bankrupt. Through no fault of our own. Somebody who owed us $1.2 million and kept making excuses finally said, I can't pay you that money. I was using it for my concrete company, and now I've had to go bankrupt my concrete company, and I don't have the $1.2 million. And word got out in the industry, and our three largest people, vendors, took us to federal bankruptcy court and proved that we had more debts than we had assets. That means you're insolvent. And so the bankruptcy court ruled us bankrupt and said, okay, you've got to pay everybody back. And as it turned out, they were all hoping that we had stashed the money aside, which we hadn't. And so they all got paid a nickel on the dollar. We had told our vendors, you hang with us, we'll go COD with you, and we'll work out of this. But no, they had to force us into bankruptcy. And so from going to the top of the heap to the bottom of the ditch, bottom of the pit, just like Joseph, in 1 month, that's all it took, because of the sin of presumption, okay? And so we need to be careful. And I don't want ever again to be guilty of the sin of presumption. God, make your way abundantly clear to me, so that when I step out in faith, I'm stepping out in the right direction. Amen? And so, David, hey, this is a great idea. We'll bring the ark back into the city of David. This is wonderful, a great idea. Everybody will be blessed, except that David didn't bother to read the Bible, where God said, this is how you transport the ark. David said, oh, I've got a better way. And because Uzzah touched the ark, God immediately struck him dead. I don't know if it was a bolt of lightning from the sky. I don't know what happened, but the bottom line is, there this guy is lying dead on the ground. Alright? And David is scared to death. First he's mad, then he's scared to death. He doesn't want to have anything to do with that ark right now. And so it stayed in this place for 3 months. And all this time, David is saying, oh, I want to bring the ark into Jerusalem. I want to bring... He wanted to do the right thing. and somehow got a hold of the Word of God and found out the right way to transport the thing. Amen? And so when we pick back up in the next verse, it says, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went to bring the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. All right? But this time, he brought the priests and two sticks. And now they are doing it God's way. And now, what originally was a great idea but ended in tragedy, ended in death, now this is a great celebration, not only for David, but for all of Israel. The presence of God is finally returning to our midst. And it says, when they were carrying the Ark of the Lord, when they had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. All right? Now, I put this to a calculator, and in the distance that it is from the house of where this was to Jerusalem, 10 miles, and that's each set of six steps divided into that mileage is 1,667 steps, or times. A series of six steps. So 1,667 times they stopped and sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. See, I kind of wondered, and he gave each a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisin to each person in the whole crowd, both men and women, and they went home. So there was also some meat in here somewhere, and I said, where did all this meat come from? Well, now we know. six steps is 12 paces. So, one, two, I mean, I can't even get out of the chapel. I gotta sacrifice another bull. and a fatted calf. This was a time of celebration. Wow. Because it was the people of Israel, they got to, you know, this was something that, as it was sacrificed to the Lord, not all of the meat was sacrificed to the Lord. They got to keep part of it to eat. And so this was a great time. I mean, you talk about a barbecue. Talk about a national barbecue. All right? I mean, there was some brisket cooking on the grill that night, I tell you. All right? And so, and David's wearing a linen ephod, and he's dancing before the Lord with all his might. Now, that wasn't, I'm not talking about what we used to do back in the 60s where you go, he is dancing with all his might before the Lord. And I don't know what that means, if he was doing somersaults or whatever. I don't know. But King David said, I am going to celebrate God with every ounce of my being. And we sit here and we say, well, you know, God doesn't want us to make fools of ourselves. I mean, there's still a certain propriety, isn't there? Well, I will tell you that when his wife, the daughter of Saul, saw him, she despised him. And she was of the royal family, you say. And the royal family, our noses are up here. And we look down at people who act so irreverently. So there were some people that were upset that David was celebrating with all of his might while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. No, they did not sneak the Ark of the Lord in the back door. This was something that everybody heard. The trumpets were blowing. The people were shouting. David was leading everybody in dancing before the Lord. This was a celebration. Amen. There was nobody sitting on their pews saying, oh, praise the Lord. Now, this was a celebration. Everybody, except for the two hoity-toities, in the whole nation, couldn't lower themselves to be like the common people. And as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And I want to tell you something, folks. Whenever you try to do something for God, you can always expect rejection from the religious people. See, this young lady was the daughter of King Saul. And so they would go to the kind of church where we just would sit reverently and whatever. We wouldn't get too excited. And you know, it's those other people that, you know, kind of act this way. And remember, it was the same way with Jesus. You know, the religious people didn't like him hanging out, going to parties and stuff like that, because that's where the real people were. All right? Whenever you get happy for the Lord, you can always expect someone, and usually a religious person, to get mad at you. All right? Because they're mad because they don't want to do that, and they have to decide, well, either I'm wrong or they're wrong. And so I don't want to be wrong, so obviously they're wrong, and I'm mad at them for being wrong. And that just draws their attention away from the fact that, man, all of Israel is celebrating, and you've got your nose stuck up in the air. All right? And so that she despised in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites. And we know there's at least 30,000 strong young men there. Okay, and now you've got all the families and everybody else of the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. All right, and there's one more thing that I want you to see. First of all, David would have done this 3 months earlier, except he decided to do it his own way, neglecting what the Word of God said. And it's so important for us to know what God's Word says. So when Terry was sick at home and dealing with this stuff, which she's still dealing with, you know, we were praying and asking God to heal her, and we were really trusting that the doctors would be able to do something to heal her and all of that. But, you know, I forgot to go to the Word of God, which says, are any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church that they may anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise them up. The Bible has instructions on what to do if you're sick. Now, don't get me wrong. When Joy was having, you know, that pain last night, she was told, go to the doctor. And that's what she did. We don't ignore the doctors. I'm of the belief that God has gifted some people with great medical insight. But still, a real doctor or nurse will realize they only treat, it's God that does the healing. Alright? All that a doctor can do is work with what God has already made the human body to do. This body is wonderfully and fearfully made. It is made to heal itself. And in the original conditions of the Garden of Eden, everything that man needed, even for healing, was there. And so you had everything. if you got cut, and I'm sure there were sharp rocks here and there, it'd be possible to fall down and get cut, that the conditions in the garden were just like hyperbaric conditions, stay in a hyperbaric chamber. Two atmospheres of pressure, 80% oxygen. And so if you've got a bad cut on your body somewhere, you go into that hyperbaric chamber, and the next day, you might not even have a scar. And so that's what it was like in the Garden of Eden, is that God made us perfect and put us in a perfect environment. Now, because of our sin, that perfect environment was destroyed with the flood, and we don't have that perfect environment anymore. But these bodies are basically self-healing. You get an infection, they're made for the white blood cells to pop up and the macrophages and the microphages and all those little things. They attack those foreign bodies and jump on them. That's why you start running a fever. Why do you run a fever? Well, because God knows that most of these pathogens can't survive in temperatures much more than 98, 99, or 99 or 100 degrees. And so if God runs your body temperature up to 103, 104 degrees, that kills off the pathogens. Right? All this is made by God. And all that a doctor or a nurse can do is just kind of play along with the game plan. Okay? And maybe help things along. Hopefully help things along. All right? And so anyhow, we need to make sure that we're doing things God's way. Otherwise, we fall into the sin of presumption. All right. Now, you think Mikkel here was subject to the sin of presumption? I mean, she despised him in her heart. Why? Because David wasn't acting the way that she thought he should act. Oh, that's not the way you do it. Well, David was being led by the Holy Spirit. And if that meant acting a fool in McCall's mind, he was. But if that's what it meant, then that's what David was going to do. He would much rather act the fool for God than get the praise of godless people. And so when we do things that the world or the religious people don't like, but we're making sure that we're doing our life, doing it according to the will of God, then we have the blessing they don't. So it's important for us. Let's know the Word of God so that when we make a decision, don't be like David. Oh, sounds like a good idea to me, and somebody dies because of David's great idea. Yeah, it was a good idea, David. Why don't you do it God's way, and then Uzzah doesn't have to die. All right, so when he does go back and he does read the Scripture and he finds out, oh, that's how you're supposed to transport it. All right, then he was ready to celebrate. And they celebrated every six steps. There was a sacrifice. I bet you all the herds of Israel weren't happy that day. That probably half the livestock in Israel that day. My goodness, every six steps. Somebody else has got to die. Something else has to die. What a wonderful celebration. And all of Israel was celebrating. They didn't have a care in the world. They are celebrating. They are happy. They know they're being blessed of God. Why? Because they're doing it God's way. One person doesn't want to do it God's way, and she's got her nose in a snit somewhere. And what does she do? She loses out. As a matter of fact, David comes back and basically, she gets herself banished. He's going to take care of her, but she doesn't get to be part of the royal household because of her attitude. All right? And so, let's make sure. Being a believer can be so enjoyable. I have had more fun doing things with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you wouldn't even consider them church things, but just the fellowship of believers out and about. We all love the Lord, and we're doing something. Maybe it's eating. Christians are really good at that. Or, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, we're just enjoying ourselves. That's what God wants for us to enjoy. But to enjoy according to His Word. Amen? And when we constantly understand, we don't call the shots. God calls the shots. And if we're going through something in our lives, first, let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. All right? And so, for sickness, there is a procedure that God gives. And again, I don't fault anybody. Some people in some of the churches that we've ministered to in former years would get all upset if you were to go to the doctor, go to the hospital. Our brother, that's a lack of faith. Okay? And that's what they would criticize you because in their eyes, that's a lack of faith. Well, if I just went to the doctor without paying attention to God's Word, well, then yes, criticize me because I didn't do it according to the Bible. But if I've gone to God's Word and I've done what God's Word tells me to do and we're still not getting healthy, then, well, it's time to pay the doctor a visit. But all in all, I see God's people enjoying God's blessings. Amen? God didn't put us here to bear burdens all of our life. He says, take, if you want a burden, take my burden, because my burden is light. Yoke is easy. All right? There is rejoicing when we are living for the kingdom of heaven. That there may be some times that we struggle, but we know that this is what God has ordained for us, and we are going to come out the other side in victory. Amen? And so, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to have a smile on your face. All right? And in closing, everybody said, amen. All right? I was here the other night, and I was getting on the elevator, and I was on the elevator, and I was whistling. All right? And when I come out on the first floor, this was late at night, about 10 o'clock at night, when I came out on the first floor, there was somebody that was waiting for the elevator. And I got out, and they said, oh, it's you. I should have known. Yeah, they heard my whistling. Yeah, I should have known. Oh, I'm sorry. Did my whistling offend you? Carrie would say, pobrecito. Oh, that's too bad. All right. No, I'm going to enjoy life. All right. I'm going to enjoy life. Now, if somebody is truly hurting, then I will be appropriate in front of them. But guys, God, Jesus has died for us so that we could have life. And he said, I've died that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen? If you're going to be able to enjoy this life, that it's going to be it might be some rough places, but to love God, to be part of His purpose, to be part of what He's doing, isn't a burden. It's a joy. Amen? And so, in our first paid ministry after Bible college, Carrie and I are working at the Flint Rescue Mission. Dr. John Shy is the superintendent. And the boss was Mrs. Shy. He knew it. And I was whistling. I was doing dishes because some church didn't show up. And here I am. Man, I got to agree to tell these people about Jesus. And here I am washing dishes. And I just decided I want to have a good time doing it. So I was whistling. I was washing dishes, getting all orange because we had to wash everything in iodine. It was a mess. And Mrs. Shy comes in. Brother, when we were about this place, we were about God's business. And when you're about God's business, you don't whistle. And I learned a very important lesson that day. Anybody who pronounces G-O-D, God, run. K their religion has already sucked all the joy out of them. And they're not going to be happy until they have sucked all the joy out of you. Amen? David was doing God's will, ultimately doing it in God's will, and it was a time of celebration, and the whole nation rejoiced, and the whole nation was blessed. I mean, by my count, there were 1,667 dead bulls and 1,667 dead fatted calves. Like I said, there was barbecue that night. Everybody was blessed. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you for the joy.